Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 26. Genesis chapter number 26 this morning. Well, we've got a lot on the plate. Amen. Pray for us. The Bible said in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 26, "And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." When I read that right there, it seems to me like we owe something to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Bible said in verse number 5, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." If you'll drop down with me, please, into verse number 12. The Bible said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had great possession of great flocks," or possession of flocks and possession of herds, "and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again." I want to read that again. "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." He didn't just dig them again, but he called them the same thing they were when his father dug them the first time. Oh God, help us in this generation. We're wanting to change the name of everything. Amen. The Bible said here, verse 19, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." Verse number 25, "And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Look at verse 32. "And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege to read the Bible. Lord, we need you now. Lord, help us, Lord, not that just that we would read the Bible, but God, that the Bible would read us. And help us, Lord. I pray, God, today. Lord, I pray for that one that's here, Lord, that perhaps is cold and indifferent towards the things of God, can take it or leave it. I pray for that one, Lord, that's here, that's unsaved. I pray for that one here, Lord, that's burdened and carrying a heavy load. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a church that could, Lord, proclaim to a lost and dying world, we have found water. Oh, God, I pray this morning, Lord, help us. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to have to take off and run just to get to the message. Amen. But I want to give you a little bit of the story as you go through Genesis chapter number 26. A lot is said in Genesis about Abraham, and a lot is said about Jacob, but there's just very little said about Isaac. But it's important what God has to say. Amen. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God. And so here in the story, the first thing I see in Genesis chapter 26 is man's problem. Man has a problem. There's a famine in the land. Can I tell you that we're living in a generation that has a problem? There's a famine in the land. Listen to what the book of Amos said. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I believe one of the prayers we need to get to praying big time around Bible Way is, Holy Ghost of God, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the churches in this generation that we live in. My friend, it didn't say there was a famine for bread. There's plenty of bread. There's not a famine for water. There's plenty of water. It didn't even say there was a famine for preaching. There's plenty of preaching going on. Amen. But there's a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. No wonder the devil don't want us to hear. Because if we hear it, listen, if we're saved and we hear it, we're going to increase in our faith. If we're lost and we hear it, we're going to get saved by the grace of God. The Bible said here, there's a famine. We see the problem. And then we see God's presence. Aren't you glad that in the biggest problem that man has, God can show up? We see the presence of God. Look at verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. He said, Isaac, listen, the answer to this famine is not going to be found in the world. It's not going to be found in Egypt. As a matter of fact, later when you get over there to where the Philistines stopped up the wells with earth, that's in typology talking about how the world keeps the blessings from flowing in the people of God's lives. It's the world that'll stop up the well. One old preacher was preaching. He had God on him. God in him. The power of God was on his life. And a young preacher said, after the service, he said, sir, he said, I'd give the world to have what you have. The old preacher looked at him and said, that's exactly what it cost me. We're living in a generation where the world has gotten so churchy and the church has got so worldly that you can't hardly tell the difference between the two. God made a difference in the Old Testament between Israel and His people, Israel, the apple of His eye, and the Egyptians and the other nations of that day. God wants us to be a different people, a peculiar people, a separated people. I see here not only man's problem, I see God's presence. After I look in God's presence here, in verse number 3, I see God's promises. You say, preacher, what's important about this? Look here with me. Sojourn in this land. This is what he told Isaac. And I will be with thee. He promised he'd be with him. He said, I'll bless thee. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Amen. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And God is saying to Isaac, son, I promised your daddy some things. I haven't forgotten what I've promised. And I will perform every promise that I made to your father. I'll say this. God has made a promise. Not just to the saints of God, but God has made a promise to sinners. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you a couple of these promises to sinners. Well,
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise to a sinner. If you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you eternal life. He'll give you everlasting life. Listen to what the Bible said. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. I tell you, if you came in this building today without Jesus, you can find rest. God has promised you can find rest. You can find rest. You can find rest. Here's a promise Jesus made. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I tell you, thank God, that thief, he may have had some question marks. He may have had some doubts in his mind. But when he looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he found out right there, if you'll just come to him, he'll do what's needed. He'll save you. A promise to the sinner. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Let me tell you something right now. This book is an oath from Almighty God. He never has, never will break the oath. Amen. The promises of God, the Bible said all of the promises of God in him, the Lord Jesus, are yea. Amen. Thank God for the promise to the sinner. What about the promise to the saints? I mean, the book's full of them. But I wrote down a few as they came to my mind. I was thinking about Abraham. First one I wrote down is in 1 Corinthians 1. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How many believes God is faithful? That's a promise. God always has been faithful. God always will be faithful. You say, well, preacher, what if I'm not faithful? He abideth faithful. He's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Jesus said in John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's a promise to the saints of God. Let me just tell you this morning. Somebody may need this. If I was to ever die and go to hell, that verse would be a lie, and my Savior would be a liar. You say, if I believed that preacher, I'd live like hell. I want you to know this morning, if you believe that, amen, you'd want to live for God, because God has given us eternal life. We're in his hand. We cannot be plucked from the hand of God. Oh, beloved friend, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is liberty to serve. You show me somebody that's using the Bible to excuse their sin, I'll show you somebody that's never met the Savior. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Bible said here. The saints of God, listen carefully. Hebrews 13:5, a promise. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many of y'all like that right there? Watch this now. Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let me just say this. I'm not trying to be mean, but we're living in a generation that will shout over the promise of God concerning the fact that he will never leave us, concerning his presence. They'll shout over it. But let me just tell you something right now. God's presence and God's power in the life of the believer is there that we might carry out God's purpose for our life. It's not there just as some little nugget to have, amen, a trinket on a bracelet or a necklace. But my friend, it's there that we might go into all the world. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I believe, my friend, listen, we're neglecting the purpose of God for our life if we're not sharing the gospel with others. The promises of God are not just to make us feel a little bit warm and a little bit fuzzy, but my friend, that we might be able to carry out the work that God has given us to do. While the world is rocking and reeling, and the waves of trouble are all around you and I, God's dear people can have peace, a peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to read something after a while that Paul Harvey said. But listen, until I get to that, let me just say it like this. I don't believe, my friend, that you and I are going to turn this world upside down. Amen. But I tell you what we can do. We can live for God in the midst of it all. And we can, my friend, ask God to help us that one life might be changed. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God will honor that. There are people being saved all around the globe. It's almost as if America has said to God, we don't want you. We don't want your book. We don't want your gospel. And my friend, there are other countries in the world that are wide open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you today, we need to pray and we need to understand the peace. Listen to these promises. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But he didn't stop there. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I tell you, you talk about motivation to serve God. If he's coming at 2 o'clock today, I'd be motivated to serve him. Say amen. If he's coming at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd be motivated to serve him. If he's coming in 2015, I'd be motivated to serve him. We don't know when he's coming, so we ought to be serving him when he comes. The Bible said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I've spoken to you in the world, that in me you might have peace. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. We've got a generation of Christians that thinks when you get saved, there's no more trouble, no more tribulation. And a lot of that's because some TV evangelist told them that. Say amen right there. I tell you one thing right now, Job had it right. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You say, well, preacher, I know somebody's 90 years old. Ask them how few the days are. Amen. I know somebody's 100 years old. Ask them how few the days are. We're a few days and full of trouble. We can have peace in the midst of it all, because of the promise, the oath that God has given to you and I. We come on down here now. Not only do we see man's problem and God's presence and God's promise, but I want to key in right here this morning for just a little while on God's provision. God's provision. The Bible said in verse number 14, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You say, preacher, how come the world doesn't envy the church? Somebody answer that for me. Answer that. How come there used to be so much respect for the house of God, so much respect for the Word of God, so much respect for the man of God, so much respect for the things of God? Even sinner folks respected what was right and knew what was right. Amen? They had a respect for the things of God. Here in the Bible, I want to talk about these wells in the life of Abraham. The Bible said all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. I believe one of the reasons, my friend, listen, that we're not having more revival than what we're having in our generation. We've allowed the Philistines to stop up the wells in our life. Amen. Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There'll be a well of water, amen, springing up in that believer, amen. Somebody would want to get a drink. There's a well of faith. You say, preacher, in Abraham's life, you believe there was a well of faith? The Bible said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Again in Galatians 3:6. Listen to Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope. Abraham's an old man. Sarah's an old woman. And God said, I'm going to give you a baby. I'm going to give you a child. The Bible said that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'll tell you something right now. Something can be dead till he shows up. But when he makes a promise and he shows up, there's going to be some life. Amen. Where there was once death. The Bible said here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was written for not for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it should be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, we just came through Easter Sunday. Surely, 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 we believe that our Father raised him from the dead. And it's imputed to us. The Bible said, who delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In John 4:14, Jesus told the woman at the well, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Let me give you this today. Not only was there a well of faith that needed to be unstopped, how many could stand an increase in your faith? Say amen right there. Oh, I could tell you story after story how the Lord's convicted me about little faith in my life. Amen. Not believing God the way I should. And many times God has used children. Amen. He's used the faith of a little child. Amen. To challenge my heart to believe God the way Abraham did. Not only is it a well of faith, but it's a well of faithfulness. In Galatians 3 and verse number 9, the Bible said, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The other night, when we were here honoring our dear brother Fred, and I couldn't think about his name and think about him and think about his life without thinking about the word faithful. I'll tell you one thing right now. It's one thing to have a pastor. It's another thing to have a people. It's another thing to have a family to declare that you were faithful. But I'll tell you right here in this Bible, the God of heaven declared that Abraham was faithful. Declared that he was faithful. I believe with all my heart that Brother Fred will hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that with all of my heart. But God has said that about Abraham, the well of faithfulness. I wrote this down. I'm not trying to be smart, but I believe. Last week, there were more people interested in the wheel of fortune than the well of faithfulness. You'll get that after a while. You say, why would you make a statement like that? Because it comes on at 7 o'clock. That's why I made it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, God help us to be faithful as His children. He wants us to be faithful. Isaac knew that his father was faithful. Not only was it a well of faith that needed to be unstopped, a well of faithfulness that needed to be unstopped, but there was a well of friendship that needed to be unstopped. And the scripture was fulfilled in James 2:23, which saith, Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What a blessing! Wouldn't that be a good motive in life just to be able to live and leave out having been called a friend of God? By the way, I believe if you're a friend of God, you'll be a friend of sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. The older gentlemen in this in this room, listen to me. There are men, if you don't know where they are, you ask some around here. You ask pastor, you ask some of these that's been out on visitation. There are men that are 80 and 85 and 90 years old that do not know Jesus and seemingly are unconcerned. It's in my heart to have somebody else that's 80 and 85 and 90. Go tell them about Jesus. When I show up, they're looking at a young squirt. Maybe somebody, my friend, with some wisdom from on high can reach them for the glory of God. Maybe it's too late. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd want to know I'd done all I could to reach them. I'll say this. I'm telling the truth. There was a time in my own daughter's life when I thought it was too late. But God, hallelujah, but God, a well of friendship needs to be unstopped. A well of family needs to be unstopped. In Genesis 18 and verse number 19, the Bible said, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him." You know what's wrong in our generation? The children are doing the commanding and not the father. I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. I'll tell you something else is wrong. Mama's doing the commanding and not the father. There is a man in every house that's going to give an account to God for how he leads that home. Going to give an account to God. He was a well of the family. He said, "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Then I give you this in verse number 22. It was a well of fruitfulness. The Bible said, "And he removed from thence, and he digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Let me tell you something this morning. There's a battle raging. I read Brother Jones's book last week on the seriousness of soldiering. There's a battle raging. Everybody knows that. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not a battle for substance. It's a battle for souls. Let me tell you something right now. There's room for you on the front line of that battle. There's a whole lot of room on the front line of that battle. So many of God's people are so seemingly unconcerned. Thank God for missionaries that have given their life to go and preach the gospel in all the earth. Thank God for people that are willing to give and willing to send them to the four corners of the earth. And I'm going to make a statement. Because we send them across the sea does not relieve us, church, as of our responsibility across the street. Amen. Have you heard what I just said? Amen. We are not relieved of our responsibility. We need to unstop the well. God's provision, a well of fruitfulness. I'm coming to a close. There's a lot in here that I kind of went around. I wanted to go into some of those wells and the names of them. We'll save that for another day. But I want to give you something this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've not done a whole lot of research, and I guess what sparked this in my mind is that this was quoted in Brother Jones's book. Paul Harvey, in 1965, he read a commentary. I read this morning that his son helped him with some of the stuff that he did. I don't know if his son was old enough in 1965 to help him. But he read a commentary entitled, "If I Were the Devil." I want to read it this morning. You'll understand when I get to the bottom of it why I want to read it this morning. Just hear me well. Hear me well. It goes like this. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I'd seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whisperers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach them to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to the ladies and the gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And the promise of higher ratings, at the promise of higher ratings, I'd have the mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline of emotions. Just let those run wild until before you know it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. You all realize I'm reading something that was written 50 years ago? Amen. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes and hard work and patriotism and immoral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on TV is the way to be. Thus I could undress you in public. I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. And before I ever read that this morning, I wanted to add a line that fits this message. This is mine. You can't add to the Bible, but I reckon it's all right to add to Paul Harvey. I wrote this, Pastor would say, if I were the devil, I would want to keep all those old wells stopped up. And I would tell each and every Christian in this generation, don't worry, somebody else will do the digging. Keep all those old wells, those wells of faith, those wells of faithfulness, those wells of family. Yeah. Keep them stopped up. Amen. Those wells of friendship. Paul Harvey said this. He said, I have a strong point of view, and I share it with my listeners. He said, I have no illusions of changing the world, but to the extent that I can, I'd like to shelter your and my corner of it. I just gave you the reason why I preach like I preach. Brother Johnny, for Maddox, I'd like to shelter his corner of it. For these teenagers, I'd like to shelter their corner of it. We can change the name of sin. You can take strychnine and put a white label over it and write something else on it with a Sharpie. But if you drink it, it'll still kill you. It's still poison. I tell you what's the truth. You can call it lottery, but it's gambling. You can call it abortion, but it's murder. You can call it liquor by the drink, but it's drunkenness. You can call it shacking up, but it's whoremongering. You can call it an alternate lifestyle, but it's an abomination in the sight of God. Say, preacher, I don't know why in the world you want to preach like that. Well, we got some young'uns that's headed off to school. And I about guarantee you they ain't going to hear nothing like that where they're going. But I hope they'll lay down at night and remember they had a pastor. They had a mommy. They had a daddy. They loved them. Prays for them. Wants them to stay in the way. Wants them to stay in the way. Paul Harvey died when he was 90 years old. In February of 2009. Don't get me wrong this morning. I need to say this just because of something that I read. I can't endorse all that Paul Harvey believes. I read that he was for women's rights. And that he was for the right of a woman to have an abortion. I read that. That's all I'm going to say right there. If that's the case, I certainly would not endorse that. Amen. But this little thing about if I were the devil, to me is amazing. That it could be written, Sister Jennifer, when I was 6 years old. Actually, I was five. I wasn't six until December 31st of that year. 5 years old. Pretty accurate. If I were the devil, church, I just want everybody to believe those wells aren't important. And if somebody, some way or another, we're going to get water out of them again, let somebody else do the digging. Let somebody else do the praying. Let somebody else do the studying. Let somebody else do the witnessing. Let somebody else. I tell you this morning, God wants us to unstop the wells. Let me say this morning. I'm not trying to be ugly. But there's people here in this building that know what real, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost revival is. And I'll say to you, bring your shovel and let's dig it up. It's still in the well. There's nothing wrong with the water. The world has stopped up the well. Help us, Jesus. If you're here today without Jesus, He loves you. If you're here today, it's been a long time since you had your hands on a shovel. Won't you come and get your shovel? Won't you pull your part of the load? You say, preacher, people will not like that. The truth never has been liked. God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. There's some well digging that needs to be done. God, help us to get at it. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for Abraham. God, you're faithful. Nothing wrong with your faithfulness. Nothing wrong with that water, Lord. Lord, the world has come between us and the water. God, I pray this morning, Lord. I beg you this morning, our Father. Help us, Lord. God, I'm just one man, but I am one man. God, help me to do my part. Help me, Lord, to do my part. God, I pray this morning for that man that's unsaved. God, I pray that he would get so sick of sin, so sick of the guilt, so sick, Lord, of the shame. God, that he would run to Jesus. Lord, that he would trust Jesus. That in him would be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. God, I pray for every child of God that's been faithful. God, that you'll increase us in that faithfulness and help us, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that have neglected the work of God, neglected the word of God. I pray, God, that somebody will come in an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want my shovel. I want to do my part. Lord, I pray that in this invitation we wouldn't listen to the devil. We wouldn't listen to the flesh. We wouldn't listen to the world. But Lord, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us today.